The Lord Jesus wanted his disciples to know that they, as adults, must develop that kind of spirit that is present in children who are humble. That is to say, we must continue to be humble throughout our lives, no matter how much we have grown, whatever we have learned, whatever we have attained, however much God may have taught us. True humility must continue to adulthood and in eternity. The Lord Jesus tells us that to be the greatest in the kingdom of heaven is not by seeking for positions. It is to develop quality in the being. When we are truly good, then we become truly great. When our hearts are pure, we will become great in the moral sense of true worth, and God will appreciate us. Luke 14, verse 11. The Lord Jesus said, "For everyone who exalts himself shall be humbled, and he who humbles himself shall be exalted." If we exalt ourselves, God will humble us. If we humble ourselves, God will exalt us. But it is not humbling ourselves in the outward form. There are many people who may do things that outwardly appear very humble. They are prepared to serve. They are prepared to do things like a servant. But in their heart, they want to be regarded as humble. They want to be regarded as great. That is not true humility. True humility is of the heart. We are humble because it is right and it is good, not because we want to be recognized as humble. Let us bear in mind that desire for greatness of the wrong kind is prevalent, deep-seated, and very dangerous. This is a problem that is very great and extensive, deep-seated, prevalent, and very dangerous. The fall of Satan was directly associated with wrong desire in his heart, in wanting to be great, in a self-seeking spirit. We need to beware of this danger. Satan was created powerful, capable, wise, and of great beauty by God. But he longed to be great in a self-seeking way, and he became the most evil moral being that we know of. Isaiah 14, verses 12 to 15. Isaiah 14, verses 12 to 15. "How you have fallen from heaven, O star of the morning, sun of the dawn. You have been cut down to the earth, you who have weakened the nations. But you said in your heart, 'I will ascend to heaven. I will raise my throne above the stars of God, and I will sit on the mount of assembly in the recesses of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will make myself like the Most High.' Nevertheless, you will be thrust down to Sheol, to the recesses of the pit." In this context, we can see from Isaiah chapter 14, verses 3 and 4, God was addressing the king of Babylon, And we know that the king of Babylon was proud. Nebuchadnezzar was very proud of his achievements, and God humbled him. Belshazzar, his descendant, was also proud, and he was slain. In Daniel chapter 5, verse 22, Daniel rebuked Belshazzar and said that he had not humbled his heart. You have not humbled your heart, even though you knew all this. Belshazzar knew about Nebuchadnezzar, but he did not humble his heart. Daniel chapter 5, verse 23 says, "But you have exalted yourself against the Lord of heaven." So in this context, there was a reference to the king of Babylon who exalted himself. But Isaiah 14, verses 12 to 15 tells us that underlying such a spirit was the power of the evil one at work, influencing such people in that direction. And God addressed Satan more directly. The rulers of the Gentiles who sought to exalt themselves to be like God were following the evil one in his desire when he fell from heaven. How you have fallen from heaven, O star of the morning, son of the dawn. The Lord Jesus, in Luke chapter 10, verses 17 to 20, told his disciples, "I was watching Satan fall from heaven like lightning." Satan fell from heaven. He was at one time a bright star in the kingdom of God, but he fell because he said in his heart, "I will ascend to heaven, I will raise my throne above the stars of God, and I will sit on the mount of assembly in the recesses of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds, I will make myself like the Most High." But God says, "Nevertheless, you'll be thrust down to Sheol, to the recesses of the pit." Revelation 20, verses 1 to 3 tells us that in the last days, Satan will be thrust into the pit. We are told that the angel laid hold of the dragon, the serpent of old, who is the devil and Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years, and threw him into the abyss, and shut it and sealed it over him, so that he should not deceive the nations any longer, until 1,000 years were completed. Satan's power will not continue. God will deal with him. So too, for the kings of the earth who seek to glorify themselves against God. Ezekiel 28, verses 11 to 15 is a similar passage where the words are directed against the king of Tyre, but God refers to the evil one more directly. "Thus says the Lord God, you had the seal of perfection, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. You were in Eden, the garden of God." In verse 14, he says, "You were the anointed cherub who covers." Verse 15, "You were blameless in your ways from the day you were created until unrighteousness was found in you." This is more appropriately a description of Satan. But the king of Tyre had similar kinds of desires in his heart. He longed to be great, and God would deal with him. Satan is actively at work in this world, influencing people in the direction of his own wickedness, his own desire for self-glory. we need to be careful that we do not follow his influences. In the New Testament, we see in Mark chapter 8, verses 31 to 33, the Lord Jesus rebuking the apostle Peter. The Lord Jesus was teaching his disciples that he would suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. And he was stating the matter plainly. And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But turning around and seeing his disciples, he rebuked Peter and said, "Get behind me, Satan, for you are not setting your mind on God's interests, but man's." Satan was at work in that situation. Peter was influenced. The Lord Jesus addressed Satan directly. "Get behind me, Satan." But he was rebuking Peter. So we see that the evil one can be actively at work in the lives of people and in very significant ways. We must learn to keep close to God, to understand his ways, and to follow him. We are told that in the last days, this wrong spirit of self-exaltation will be manifested in an extreme form in the man of lawlessness, in the context of the activity of Satan. When you read 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, you can see the description of this man. The man of lawlessness is also described as the son of destruction. He exalts himself and he takes his seat in the temple of God, displaying himself as being God. In verses 8 to 10, he is described as that lawless one, whose coming is in accord with the activity of Satan, with all power and signs and false wonders, and with all the deception of wickedness for those who perish. He will exalt himself. He's a man. But this man will be very evil because he cooperates very deeply with Satan. We must beware of the great danger of actually pursuing false worth without realizing it. This can take place easily if we have not totally given up our desire for personal greatness arising from a spirit of self-seeking. We may wonder, why is it so attractive to pursue false worth? Basically, it's because it feels good. It feels good to be great. It feels good to be recognized as great. It feels good to be regarded as better than others. And it feels good to exert authority over others. The self-seeking life seeks for enjoyment for the self. And self-exaltation is one form of enjoyment that is very attractive. We should instead pursue that which is truly great in the eyes of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 13. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 13. "But now abide faith, hope, love, these three. But the greatest of these is love." The greatest is love. If we want to be truly great, we must appreciate what true love is and develop that quality in our hearts. If love that is pure and self-giving is not abundantly present in our hearts, then all other aspects of our lives will have little or no value. The Apostle Paul tells us very clearly in 1 Corinthians 13, verses 1 to 3, if we do not have love, our lives will be worthless. If I speak with the tongues of men and of angels but do not have love, I have become a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have the gift of prophecy and know all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains but do not have love, I am nothing. And if I give all my possessions to feed the poor, and if I deliver my body to be burnt but do not have love, it profits me nothing. So we cannot develop true worth in our being if the love in our heart is not pure. On the other hand, when love is pure in our hearts, we will no longer seek to exalt ourselves. We would have learned to be genuinely humble, because our concern will not be our position or recognition by others. Our concern will only be what is truly good and what is truly meaningful before God. The Apostle John tells us in 1 John chapter 4, verse 8, the one who does not love does not know God, for God is love. The greatest characteristic of God is love. A manifestation of his moral and spiritual perfection. Love that is pure, love that is wise, love that is powerful, love that is truly good. If we want to develop true quality in our being, we must learn the principle of love. 1 John chapter 4, verse 16, and we have come to know and have believed the love which God has for us. God is love, and the one who abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. Whatever else we may have developed, learned, or attained, if this quality of love is not truly deep in our hearts, then God is not truly abiding in us. So then, let us beware of all that does not arise from love that is pure, and all that does not arise from a humble spirit of self-giving in pursuing moral and spiritual excellence in the kingdom of God. In summary, we must beware of false worth. A false worth in that we have a false sense of worth when we have not developed true worth. And pursuit of false worth when we follow the ways of the world in desiring to be great in the spirit of self-seeking. Instead, let us learn to develop love that is pure and a truly humble spirit which seeks to give because it loves. Let us then ask the Lord to help us understand what is true greatness, true worth. Let us ask Him to search our hearts, so that if there is any wrong desire in us, for self-exaltation, self-seeking, to be great like the people of the world, He will help us to repent, to be corrected. It is only then that we can pursue the path of true worth and develop genuine and long-lasting quality in our being. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You that although we can see in our hearts wrong desires, deficiencies, areas that are displeasing to You, yet You still love us, You're kind to us, You're patient with us. Help us that as we have benefited from Your grace, we will not continue in our old ways, but we will learn to follow You in the path of growing quality in our hearts, that we may grow to be like You in Your holiness, Your purity, Your goodness. We thank You for all that You have done for us. We thank You that You have made it possible for us to know Your forgiveness in spite of the fact that we have grieved Your heart. And we thank You that through the cross, You have made it possible for us to become children of God, to be born of the Spirit, to be transformed, to be like You, that Christ may be formed in us. We pray that You help each one of us to come before You in sincerity of heart, so that You may speak to us and teach us Your ways, that we may learn to walk in a path that is good for our well-being, that we may in turn be able to bear a faithful witness to help others in need. Help us, Lord, to grow strong in You, to be unwavering in our commitment in spite of the pressures, pains, and difficulties we encounter in this world, in spite of all that the evil one may seek to do to draw us away from You. We pray that You be with us to help us for the rest of our lives. For this we pray and we thank You in Jesus' name. Amen.